It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. We're on 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're on thefanmilwaukee.com. We're on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, we are now streaming live video on YouTube at The Fan Milwaukee. And joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show and on The Fan Milwaukee YouTube channel, she is the one, she is the only, Camille Davis from Locked On Bucks Podcast. What up, Camille?
What's going on, guys? How are y'all today?
Camille, yeah. We haven't gotten to do our barbecue yet, but this is, you know, the first step, you know. At least we get hang out. We get to see each other, you know, on the video. And, yeah, always appreciate you jumping on. So we're going to dive right in. You know, NBA draft last night.
Cooper flag.
Not really any big surprises up top, but there's a couple things that I thought were interesting, but I'd love to hear your take on you know, how that draft went and you know, what you think the Bucks are poised to do here in this second round.
Yeah, I thought that the first round of the draft, it had a lot of movement, a lot of trades, a lot of teams paying exorbitant prices, in my opinion, to move up a few slots. Not as many trades involving other players moving to other teams, but the trades just for teams to get up there and get their guy were interesting. The one in particular that really stands out is the New Orleans Pelicans trading with the Atlanta Hawks to move up 10 slots for them to be able to draft, I believe it was Jeremiah Fears in that slot. But what makes it interesting to us and Bucks fans is the fact that the Pelicans gave up the 2026 unprotected first, which is a protected first that involves the Bucks and the Pelicans. So now the Hawks will have the most favorable pick between the Bucks and the Pelicans for this upcoming draft. And the 2026 draft is looking like it's going to be one for the Bucks. So that surprised me because I don't think New Orleans is going to be as good as they think that they're going to be to give up an unprotected first to do that in the first place.
Camille, nice. just other teams just playing like Uno and Dominoes and Monopoly with the Milwaukee Bucks picks, because we all know the Bucks don't own any of their own picks.
They don't. And honestly, that pick got us a championship. I really don't care. It was worth it. Mm-hmm. We got a championship. It was worth it. So I know there are fans who are looking at it and they're still just like, oh, I can't believe that we don't have any control of our picks. And sure, for the Dame trade, I get it. That hasn't come to fruition the way we thought that it would. But the Drew trade, all those picks that were given up, I could care less because it worked out at the end of the day for the Bucks.
Well, you talked about the Dame trade, and like the Drew Holiday stuff that's going on. You know, obviously him getting traded back to the Trailblazers. They had some movement, and they actually moved back, correct, out of with Memphis to get kind of, which was it's a funny story. I'm sure you saw it where their pick was sitting in the stands. he stands up. I think, what's his name? Hanson Yang. Sorry. So he stands up out of the crowd and comes walking down. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And, you know, to be picked at number 16, but yeah, talk about what like the Trailblazers have done with all of that movement and those picks, like to get Drew Holiday back after sending him to Boston. And I feel like they, as an organization, are really kind of making all these picks and all these moves work in their favor.
Yeah, they're trying to. I think if anybody watched the Trailblazers, which a lot of people did not, and I get why you didn't, but if you didn't, the end of last season, they started to show a little something defensively. Like, they have a little something cooking up there in Portland, but I don't understand the Yang pick at all. They just drafted Klingon last year, who's a center. Drafted the center this year, no and sense. Yang is, he's not a big that you can, like, play as the four or the five. Like, he's just a five. And they have Ayton, and they have Robert Williams. Like, it just, they have too many centers on that team right now for it to really make sense. And getting Yang at 16 when at best, he was projected to be at the end of the first round. And that was even seen as like a reach there. So to get him at 16, when you have three centers, one you just drafted last year, that piece is puzzling to me. But ultimately, like, maybe there are more moves coming. There have to be for this Trailblazers team for it to make sense. But well, they clearly view themselves as a team that's kind of like, we think we're going to be able to surprise people a little bit more than expected this upcoming year.
Well, and that's Drew Holiday's job now. Like, Drew Holiday's got to figure out how to share the ball with four centers. It'll be Drew and four centers probably on the court at one time.
It's a new strategy.
Yeah. But it's a bold strategy, Cotton. What do you think? What was your reaction both to the Drew Holiday trade for Anfernee Simons that the Celtics made, and then the Celtics trading Kristaps Porzingis to the Hawks, and kind of, you know, in the wake of the Jason Tatum injury, really reshaping their roster?
Yeah, honestly, even before Tatum got hurt, this was the offseason I was waiting to see for Boston, because they just had so much money committed on that team, where their luxury bill was like over $500 million, if I remember correctly. Like, it was a big bill for that Celtics team, which is why I laugh when their ownership sold the team, because it was like, yeah, we're going to pay all these guys. We're going to get paid, and then y'all figure out what else y'all going to do here, because that's no longer my problem at this point. So I figured this offseason we would see some changes made, see some trades made for them to try to shed some salary. And then the Tatum injury, I think, adds just another wrinkle to it, where they're kind of like, okay, we can really kind of get down to the studs and see how far under the second apron we can get to save not only ourselves some headaches from trying to build this team with the CBA and the restrictions that come from being a second apron team, but also getting that luxury tax bill down for our team, especially if it's a year where we don't have our MVP, we don't have our main guy here, Tatum, to really lead us. So Drew seemed like the first guy who'd be out the door given his contract and his age. He had a down season. Porzingis made sense as well, given the fact that he had a weird year with an illness that just kept lingering for him. So getting him out there, and then in the draft here, where it's just like, okay, now we have some clean books, like, let's go forward here. And now you're still hearing, like, Boston might not be done. Like, Jaylen Brown might be out.
I saw Brown and Derek White potentially. Yeah, they're taking calls for him, right?
Yeah, which is so strange. But again, next year's draft class is one that people are really excited about, so I can get that. But ultimately, Boston is just making that pivot. Like, we're going to save some money this year. And if they do keep Brown, with the way the East is shaking out, like, they still have a chance to be a playoff team down the stretch here.
That's interesting. We got Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, at Camille Monet on X on the Mason Crosby Show, and we're talking all things NBA draft. And we're going to shift, you know, to our Bucks. You know, they're sure. You know, they should get a pick tonight, right? Like, they should have one, unless it gets wild and crazy. You know, they're in this draft. But what do you think they're going to take if they stay at 47? Or do you think is there any value in them, like, moving up at this point, or should they just stay put?
Now, someone like Rashear Fleming is still on the board. He is somebody who I think would be worth going up to get.
Okay.
But the problem for the Bucks is the problem that we've mentioned. They just don't have that many assets to really be like, hey, let's trade 47 and this to move up in the second round. So ultimately, I think the Bucks end up staying at 47 and making the pick. Again, this is an educated guess. No inside information on what they plan to do. But a benefit of having that second round draft pick, it's cheap. It's a cheap contract to have on your books. And as I mentioned, the CBA, it makes team building really, really expensive for you if you continue to add these very high value pieces. So people to have a rookie come in, that's controlled money for you going forward, is going to be really important. And I think they can get a guy who's going to be an older player that can come in and contribute right away. Not contribute like somebody like a Malcolm Brogdon did as a second round draft pick years ago, but someone who can give you a few minutes throughout the regular season and maybe can continue to develop into something else.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. I do think since this draft has started, at least for a day or so, it sounds like some of the Giannis trade rumors have slowed down a little bit maybe. But are you still hearing any kind of rumblings about potential there? Or is that just kind of everyone in the media world speculating and not really something that looks like it's going to happen in any form or fashion?
It feels like speculation at this point, because even Sham Sharani is saying, like, well, no one really knows what Giannis wants to do, but yet Giannis is still the topic of conversation day in and day out about what he's going to do. Although he himself said no one knows, because Giannis keeps it close to the vest. At this point, you've heard Doc Rivers come out on the Bill Simmons podcast and mention, like, I don't know how many more times Giannis has to say he wants to be a Milwaukee Buck.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of frustrating to keep having these conversations. So I think as we go into the start of the 2025-26 season, you can expect for Giannis to be on this team. Now, if the season it goes worse than expected or things happen, then, of course, you're going to hear that chatter start to pick up again. And ultimately, next offseason, we'll probably be back in the same place having the same conversations about Giannis's future. But at this point, that's part of the price of business of having a generational player on your team, especially on a team that's lacking assets right now, has their other star player out with an Achilles injury, and just looking at the landscape of, like, well, how many more moves can the Bucks really make to be, like, a top contender? And honestly, this upcoming season, I don't think that they will be. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for this Bucks team. I think what's most important for the Bucks this year is to start to find those pieces that make sense if you're going to move to an offense that's more centered around Giannis being the main initiator. And okay, just starting to find those pieces going forward.
Man, Camille, yeah, that's you always just hit it right. Yeah, that nail right on the head. That was, like, exactly so spot on. And it is, like, Giannis, this whole situation is just so fascinating because it's like it feels like media, everybody, they're like, he should want out of Milwaukee. Like, that's like the whole story, right? It's like, it's not that he's ever said it. He's never indicated it. Like, Doc is saying, like, stop it. Like, he has not ever said this. So, like, why is he the topic of the conversation? Like, if there had ever been a point in this season, in any of his career, where he's just like, gosh, I'm frustrated, then I get it. Like, I'm frustrated, like, you know, we don't have a chance to win, all that. But, like, I mean, also, too, like, he has to think in his mind, if he goes somewhere right now with how much someone would have to give up, he's probably going somewhere that's more depleted than the Bucks are at this moment.
Yep.
And it's not going to be about money. Like, I don't know if he can even make any more, like, with this contract. I mean, he's I think, scheduled to make $55 million this year. So it's just kind of one of those where it is so fascinating how the media, how everybody is driving this narrative of how would it look? What would it look like if he got traded? And he has just never been in that position of saying, I would be interested in this, and I'm frustrated with how it's going here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I think people pick up on it because Giannis has been in the media before just saying, like, how important it is for him to compete, and how as long as him and Milwaukee are in alignment of, like, hey, we're still going after a championship, I'm cool with being here. And I think people are looking at what the Bucks have around him, and they're like, hey, this doesn't line up with a championship team. Don't you want
to
leave? Don't you
want to leave?
Yeah, right. But it's like a lot of superstars that have remained with one team have gone through these periods where the team needs to reload around them. We just saw it with the Warriors and Steph Curry staying through that. We've seen it with Kobe. We've seen it with Dirk. You've seen it with a lot of these guys who stay with one team. There's going to be a couple of lean years there, but if you trust in the direction of the ownership and what they have planned on how you get back to that table of, like, hey, we're back to contending. Like, normally the superstar is kind of like, if you can buy into it, you go forward with it. And it seems like the relationship that Giannis has with Milwaukee, with John Horst, who is one of the guys who has been here since he's been here, one of the few who's, like, been steady throughout this whole time. Like, they have a great relationship, and I'm sure they've had conversations about how they get back this team to contending, because it's not as if the Bucks are going to skimp out. Like, they've shown they'll pay the money. Like, they just have to figure out the best direction going forward. And it seems at this point that Giannis is on board with, like, trying to figure out what that looks like for them going forward. So, again, I mean, if I was a fan of another team, I'd be trying to drum up trade rumors too. Like, yeah, I want Giannis on my team.
Yeah, get let's get those things in.
Camille Davis joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. So we have the Kevin Durant trade. The Celtics make a couple trades. I know the Poole McCollum trade. There aren't a ton of free agent names this year. Do you? And so the expectation around the NBA is that there are going to be more trades than usual, and that's where we're going to. Is there anybody you're keeping your eye on that hasn't necessarily been named in trade rumors that you think could be a possible moving piece in the NBA? Not necessarily Bucks, but just, like, in the NBA in general, where, like, you know, it's somebody, or do you think there'll be a trade? Do you think we'll get some shocks, or do you think this could be the most boring offseason in the history of the NBA?
Oh, no, I think we're going to get some moves.
All right, good. All right, some more moves.
I think there will be some moves. In large part, too, because, like I mentioned, with how things are constructed, I think a lot of teams are in a position with this new parity era of the NBA of thinking, like, hey, we're only a few pieces away. So I think a lot of teams, you'll see more trades because it's more of like shuffling chairs on the deck of like, that's not working for you. It's not working for us over here. What if we trade these pieces to see if this works for both of us a little bit better than what we had? One name in particular I keep looking at is Jonathan Kuminga in Golden State, because he's a restricted free agent, which normally you don't want to get involved with restricted free agents because it ties up your cap and you got to wait and you get the hours to match the deal, so on and so forth. But his name has been brought up a lot in like sign and trade options. And there's been rumors too that the Warriors are interested in like a Bobby Portis. So like there, that's a name I keep my eye on.
Done. Sign me up. Sign me up. I'll take Kuminga for Bobby right now. Like
I don't know how likely it is.
And listen, we love Bobby, but it's like I did the whole show yesterday, and Mason, this was one of my main focuses yesterday, is like Tatum gets hurt. And the Celtics immediately make moves. And Camille, you said it. They were going to make moves anyway. The Bucks didn't make moves 3 years ago the way they were supposed to with Bobby and Pat. And I don't know if it's because we love these guys. Like, there are guys, like, their Visit Milwaukee and their three-leaf properties and, like, all the other things. Like, because we're small-town Milwaukee, Midwestern nice, that we have to keep guys who love it here and that we love. But, like, these are guys the Bucks should have made moves with 3 years ago, and they didn't. The Celtics, like, literally the second something happens, they trade their guys out. And so it's like, so if there's a way to get something back for Bobby or Pat at this point, just sign me up. Kuminga, I'll take it. Like, you talk about getting more athletic and getting more young. Hello, Kuminga. Yes, please.
I think you, though, just hit it on the head, though, the difference in markets. Like, they're not going to – these guys in Boston or where, like, other cities aren't going to move the needle in the community the way that a Milwaukee Buck player will. So whenever you ingrain yourself, you're in the community, you're doing all of that, like, there is a balance of, like, how much – you contribute on the court, but also what you're doing like in that community. I do think there is a piece to that in some of these smaller markets where you go to New York, you go to Boston, you go anywhere like that, and it's like you are just a cog in the machine, and it's not going to really matter whenever they move on. Like, you're not going to affect what happens in that community, which it would affect that in Milwaukee if they pull all that support, if they get rid of a player like that, it probably will affect part of the community of Milwaukee. So I do think sometimes that's what an organization considers, as they feel like they are stewards of more than just that team, but also building that community.
Right, but you also forget that you are stewards of that team, and that you don't do your due diligence in building a franchise and winning basketball games when you decide that the community involvement is more important than the product you put on the court. And so that's the problem I have with what the Bucks have done.
Yeah, if it goes that way, sure. If it's like the community involvement.
It clearly has gone that way.
But here's the thing.
Bobby wasn't bad when he was healthy, and he was suspended.
Okay, he wasn't bad.
He's a good, I mean, he was a contributor, and he plays his role well. Pat Connaughton, I would say, maybe on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, Pat's decline happened, it felt like, very quickly. But I think for the Bucks, part of the problem was that if they were healthy, right, it all looks different.
Yep.
Every year since they won that championship, there was something that happened that really tanked them. Like, right afterwards, I mean, you get your ring night, Brooke Lopez plays, and then he has a back injury, and you lose your defensive anchor, and now you're putting Bobby Portis in a role that he's not necessarily suited for. He can't be your Brooke Lopez, but that's what they had to have him try to do. And that year, they still were able to put together a solid season. They got to the playoffs. They get out the first round. But Chris Middleton gets hurt in the first round of the playoffs there. Mm-hmm. And then you go into Boston. If you win game six at home, you're probably, you know, looking at this a little bit differently. But you lose that game. You go back to Boston. You lose game seven.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, Giannis gets hurt. And again, next year, Giannis gets hurt. And then the next year, Dame gets hurt. Like, there's just been so many different injuries where those role players were having to be put in situations to play roles that they weren't necessarily cast for. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem, where it's like, I can see Bucks ownership looking like, hey, this team healthy makes sense. But once those injuries happened, it really just put guys in positions that they didn't need to be in.
Mm. Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks. Last question before we let you go, because it's just on my mind, because the talk is shifting and making sure, like, an offensive strategy to just get the ball in Giannis's hands more, like, kind of make him the focal point, do all of that. when I think of that and what you just said about his injuries, his workload, all of that, like he is not getting any younger. You give him, you know, you kind of make him more of the focal point. Maybe don't have all those, you know, you don't have all the pieces around him that are going to draw attention, and everybody is just physically, you know, coming at him. Like, what is, you know, what does that look like if he's not available? I mean, like, that's like a real possibility. Is, you know, you have a bunch of young guys. It's all the Giannis show. He is going to get hurt, and he's not going to be available for this Bucks team.
Man, if something happens to Giannis this season, you just start looking in the standings to see where the Pelicans are and seeing where the Bucks are and seeing which of those picks is going to be most favorable. I honestly think that even if that did happen, I still think the Pelicans will finish worse than the Bucks do, just because they're in a tougher conference just by nature. But ultimately, like, I think that's the concern that people do have with the idea of moving this to be a more Giannis-centric offense of, like, now we're going to increase his usage rate. We're going to increase what we're asking for him to do when he already has had some health concerns in the past. But to that, I will say we have started to see, as Giannis is aging, him trying to find different ways to preserve his body throughout the game. So on offense, for example, if he continues to work on that mid-range shot, which we started to see last season really coming to fruition, and he mentioned, my body feels better because I'm not having to drive as often, although his driving numbers were still really high. But if that mid-range game can really be expanded where he doesn't have to get to the hoop every single time and he can create offense that way, it's going to do wonders for his body. He might have the minutes, but he won't have necessarily like load on his body of consistently trying to drive every possession. So if he can diversify his game in that way, and also if you put, I think, young guys around him that can do the running and the defending and they can be solid on the perimeter at the point of attack defensively, it saves him as well. Now, the question I do have for the Bucks, because I don't think Brook Lopez is going to be back. And even if Bobby does come back, that means you're looking at a Bobby Giannis front court. They're going to need another center to be the guy to take that load defensively. So that's the piece this offseason that I'm paying really close attention to, because Giannis has mentioned he does not like playing the five. Yep. It is very hard on his body to do so defensively. He likes to play that help defender role a lot more often. So just the Bucks trying to find that piece to help him. And maybe it's Jericho Sims. Maybe they go that route this year of like, hey, this offseason, we're really running a lot of it back, focusing more on the young guys. And then next offseason, we really go for it. But I think it's important to keep an eye on his usage rate.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Who the center is going to be, and if the young guys around him can really step up and do a lot of that heavy lifting of the running and defending around him.
Awesome. Awesome. Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks at Camille Monet. Really appreciate you, Camille. It was awesome seeing your face, you know, getting to talk. And I appreciate you always, as always, jumping on such great points about our Bucks and all the NBA. So have a great rest of your Thursday and crush the weekend. It's almost the 4th of July. You know, it's almost the week. So
we're getting
there. Love the 4th. I'm excited for next week. But have a great one, Camille.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely, you as well. That is Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks podcast, and she's a pretty frequent guest here on The Fan with Andy Herman and with us, and always breaks down everything going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. When we come back, we've got Steve Novak in the 10 o'clock hour talking about the Wisconsin Marquette Celebrity Softball Slam. Then Drew Wagner at 10:20 will talk about the Miz and everything going on big picture wise with the Milwaukee Brewers. They are the hottest team in baseball. They're the best team in baseball. Everyone else should just put their bats and gloves down. The Brewers are the World Series champions in 2025.
It's over now.
Yeah, let's go. He's Mason Crosby. I'm Mitch Nelson. The Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.